At this time, we will turn in our Bibles to the New Testament, and we will read a story that is from the book of Matthew, starting in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 23. And as we read through this passage, consider Peter, the apostle, and how easily influenced he was by Satan. And so when we start out in verse 13 in Matthew 16, we read this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not delivered this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Satan worked in the mind of Peter after he had said such wonderful things before about Christ, the Son of the living God. He recognized who Jesus was. And then now he is saying, "No, you can't do this." And Jesus said, "You know what? You're saying that because Satan told you to say that. Satan was working in your mind." When we read in the Lord's Prayer the sixth petition, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we are really considering the work of Satan. Satan is our enemy. And in the Bible, we will see the word Satan used. We will see the word the devil used. We will see the word Beelzebub used. And all of these are in the Bible. For today, we are going to call him Satan. Just as God has many names, Satan has many names and appearances in our scriptures. And we see the result of his work. In fact, the Bible is full of the works of Satan as long as compared to the works of God. And just as Satan is in the Bible, we need to remember that Satan is our enemy. Satan is my enemy. Satan is the enemy of every single Christian. And the reason he is our enemy is because we have aligned ourselves with God. And Satan is an enemy of God. Even if you are the most peace-loving person, you don't like to fight, you don't like conflict, you try and make peace between enemies, you are still an enemy, a Satan. You cannot make peace with Satan. And you will have to take steps to defend yourselves against Satan. And today we're going to identify some of the ways that, and the tactics that Satan uses to separate us from God. The last time I spoke to you on this topic, we talked a little bit about what Satan is like. Satan is extremely shrewd. What we mean by shrewd, he is very clever, he is intelligent, and he is a master of deception. Satan is an illusionist. He will make things seem good when in reality they are evil. He will make things look beautiful when in reality they are ugly. Secondly, we said that Satan is a compulsive liar. Satan is an extremely good liar. He's a cheat. Bernie Madoff would be put to shame by Satan. Bernie Madoff got caught. Satan might not get caught. He is a fraud. You cannot believe anything that Satan tells you. And Satan is against God. Satan will try every possible way to turn you away from God. Adam and Eve, people living in the Garden of Eden, who were sinless, were deceived by Satan because Satan saw them as being made in the image of God, and he was against God, and he wanted to destroy those images of God. How much more is he going to try and destroy each one of us? Satan is what I would consider a contrarian. Whatever God tells us to do, Satan is going to tell us the opposite. For example, the second commandment says, "You shall not make an image of God, the Lord God." Satan says, "You know what? You need a kind of a picture to help and aid you in worship." And so the Eastern Orthodox Church, if you go into one of their churches, there are many icons along the walls. People use them as an aid to worship. You go to the Catholic Church, you see Jesus Christ on the crucifix. You go to any pagan temple and you will see statuary. All of these are images of gods. And Satan has inspired every false religion that you know of. He inspired the Roman gods, Apollo and Jupiter. He inspired the Greek gods. He inspired the god Loki, who was a mischievous god. He inspired all of those Indian gods, which they have myriads of them. And if you go to India, they are full of temples with idols in them. Satan is a contrarian. If God says don't make an image, make as many images as you want. That's how Satan wants us to think. But Satan also, think about this commandment, do not steal. We have things that belong to us. And Satan says, you know what? There are some things that belong to other people that I think you should have. And so there are all kinds of ways that Satan will entice us to steal and disregard ownership. If everyone knew what was theirs and knew what was yours, we would not need locks and keys. We would not need fences and gates. We would not need to talk about privacy. We would not need to talk about security. Satan entices people to take things that they think that they should have, even though it belongs to you or to me or someone else. Satan is an obstructionist. Whatever God is for, Satan is against. God has offered free grace through the Lord Jesus Christ on his sacrifice on the cross. Satan comes to you and says, God can't offer anything that's free. God would never just give you something. You have to earn whatever you get. Satan is an obstructionist. He is putting a roadblock between you and the free salvation that God has offered to you. God teaches us to live peaceably with other men. Satan says, peace? Peace with God is bad enough, but peace between these image bearers? of God? Uh-uh. Every little fight that you have, every little disagreement that you have, every little spat that you have, we see nations at war amongst each other. We see nationalities that hate each other. We see people who just despise one another. Each one of those comes from the thought of Satan trying to create unrest within the people that God created. God did not create us to be warlike people. God created us to be peaceful people. Satan has put an obstruction between us and God. Have you ever thought about it? Most of the news you see on TV is about a sin. And you think about it. Here's a news flash. There was a murder here. There was a robbery here. There's an accident over here. All of those things are the results of sin. And all of these things are the result of Satan's work here on earth. And you might be thinking, Pastor Horgis, this sounds really bleak. Seems like we must be living in a cesspool, or at least an extremely polluted world. And in some ways, we are. We are living in a cesspool. We are living in a polluted world because it is polluted with sin and the results of sin. And as Christians, it is important that we know God and that we know who God is and we're familiar with God and we know what God has done for us. And that's why we have the Bible, to teach us what God has taught us. And there is a very well-known book written by J.R. Packer called Knowing God. And J.I. Packer says, our aim in studying the Godhead must be to know God himself better. And so we need to study God. We need to know who he is. We need to know what he is like. We need to know his attributes or his characteristics. Each of these are not theoretical concerns, but they're practical concerns because they help us learn how to live so that we can become more and more like God, because God has made us in his image. The psalmist in Psalm 119 wrote this, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with all their hearts, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. And the psalmist is calling us to be more and more like God. And the study of God will lead us to godliness in an ungodly world. And then you might want to say, why should I need to know anything about Satan if I'm going to focus my study on God and how he wants me to live and how I am reconciled to God and how I need to live and practice what God wants me to practice? Shouldn't this inoculate me from Satan's temptations and the ill effects of Satan attacking me? And I would say no. In order to fight against the enemy of God, we need to know something about our enemy. Even in 545 BC, the writer, Chinese writer, Sun Zi, wrote a book called The Art of War. The warlike tendencies of people came out immediately after the fall. And he said, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. And so we need to know both ourselves and we need to know the enemy. We want to think about the enemy today, the enemy, Satan. And here's our situation. We are living in a world that is Satan's territory. God has allowed Satan to roam around this earth. God has restrained him. He's not doing as many bad things as he could, but he is still here. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven as Christians. We are living in a country that is not the kingdom of heaven. We may get a glimpse of being in the kingdom of heaven. We may have pockets of heavenliness, but we are in Satan's kingdom. We are in a foreign country, and we know that there are places in our country that we should not go or where we might get ourselves in trouble. And Satan, with us in his country, doesn't want to lose any person. You know how we in this country do not like illegal aliens in our country? Satan likes having us in his country because he wants every single one of us to be a citizen of his country, and he doesn't want to send anybody to the heavenly kingdom. And so he is going to try every which way to keep you in this country, his country, and to prevent you from going to the kingdom of heaven. He wants to separate you from God. He does not untie any ties that you have with God. Now we know that once you are saved, you are always saved. God has a rope around you. He is going to rope you in. You are going to end up in the kingdom of heaven. But Satan might take you and he might pull against that rope as hard as he can to keep you from going to the kingdom of heaven. And it's when you're being yanked at by Satan where you can run into all kinds of trials and tribulations and difficulties and fall grievously into sin. But God, in the end, is going to take that rope and draw you in to heaven to spend eternity with him. So here's how Satan works. First of all, Satan is a tempter. Jesus was tempted by Satan. And you might think about Satan as a tempter. Satan as a tempter was one who will tempt. That is a characteristic of Satan. Now, I can't tell you a list of all the characteristics of Satan like I can tell you about God, except I can tell you that all the characteristics of God are the opposite for Satan. So if God is love, Satan is hate. But Satan's unique characteristic is tempter. Satan is hiding in an ambush in the bushes to do mischief. Satan is always armed. He is always ready for battle. There's a little nursery story about Little Red Riding Hood. Little Red Riding Hood was supposed to go and visit her grandmother and bring her some stuff, right? Little Red Riding Hood was told by her parents, just get on this trail and keep going until you get to grandmother's house, right? What happened? Little Red Riding Hood started going down the trail, and this nice grandmotherly figure appears. Grandmotherly figure says, you know what? I have a nice little house and some stuff for you over here. Off the trail. And Little Red Riding Hood is taken off the trail by this kind of grandmotherly figure who turns out to be a wolf in disguise and gets herself eaten. Not a very nice story in some ways. But it was used to teach children to obey their parents because you might get eaten by something. Satan works in the same way. We know what trail we're supposed to stay on, but a nice little grandmotherly figure might come and entice us to leave the trail because they promise nice things. That's how Satan works. Satan will lay a trail of temptations for us. And so Little Red Riding Hood was not ready to leave the trail, but this wolf in a grandmother disguise kept working at her until she did leave that trail. Satan can be found anywhere. While we're reading a book, we're driving our cars, even when we're praying or reading the Bible or working, Satan is waiting to place a temptation in front of us. Satan is malicious, a malicious tempter. Satan intends to do harm with his temptations. Satan knew that Jesus was sinless, had never fallen into temptation, even though Satan tempted him, and Satan is going to tempt each of us just as he tempted Jesus. And it is the characteristic of Satan to tempt. He could not resist tempting a person that he knew was going to resist. Satan knew that Jesus was not going to fall for any of his temptations. And yet, because of his nature as a tempter, he tempted Jesus. How much more is Satan going to tempt us when he knows that some of us are going to fall for his temptations, and all of us have fallen for some of his temptations? If you think back on how you have lived your lives, you know that you have been tempted, you were not able to resist, and you fell into sin because no one here is sinless. Satan has caused us to fall into sin. Satan wants to ruin us. Satan hates us. There are some people who worship Satan. That's what they say. They're Satanists. Even the Satanists are hated by Satan. You know why? Because the Satanists are people, and people are made in the image of God. And Satan hates people. We read in Revelation that the devil has come down to us in great wrath because he knows his time is short. The devil, Satan, is going to do as much destruction in this world before Jesus comes as he can. And how does Satan maliciously attack us? In many ways, he attacks us through people, other people. If you love God, Satan will cause people to hate you or to hate what you're saying. And you hear it today. I hear people hating those who don't like the LGBT community or X or whatever it is these days. People don't even like it when you tell them that you are a Christian. All of a sudden, you see this little bristling going on. And what does Jesus say about this when people persecute us, when people don't like us? Blessed are you when men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Remember, God has that rope tied to you. You're going to get to heaven. Great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew continues, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted Jesus, they will also persecute you. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Keep your lifestyle honest before among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. From 1 Peter. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, as written by the Apostle Peter. And so, if people persecute you, we are to submit ourselves to God, because we are part of a warfare of which we do not see. So Satan, he is a tempter. He is malicious. Satan is also diligent. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. A very good passage to remember. The disciple Judas didn't suddenly betray Jesus. We read in Luke 6, there he became a traitor. He became. It wasn't something that happened like instantly, but he became a traitor. It took time. And then we read in John where Judas was described as being a thief. Satan worked in his heart and caused him to desire the money that he held in the money bag, to use it for himself, even though he said he was going to use it for the poor. To use it for himself. And so Satan said, okay, I can get you on this. And then eventually we read in John 12, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not used and sold and given to the poor? And he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Satan is diligent. Satan is persistent. He may tempt us over and over. Satan is energetic. He doesn't take breaks. He never tires. He keeps going. And so you say, come on, Satan, give me a break. This temptation is too much for me. No. Satan is going to think, if it's too much for you, I am just going to keep pushing at you. Satan is thorough. He makes as many temptations as tempting as possible. But we also are called to be diligent. Whatsoever is commanded by God of heaven, let it be done diligently. The proverb says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Remember to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So Satan is a tempter, he's malicious, he's diligent, and he's powerful. We read about Achan. Achan went into Jericho when the Israelites conquered Jericho. And what had been the Israelites commanded to do? They were commanded to destroy every single thing that was in Jericho and to burn it up. Achan, he saw a nice coat. In fact, a very beautiful coat. And he saw silver. And he saw a bar of gold. Threw those things in his backpack, went back to his tent and hid it. Satan worked in his heart so that he did something against what God had commanded. Satan is a powerful tempter. Do you think that you are exempt from temptation? You are not. We are not able to resist Satan's temptations unless there is something stronger on our side. And remember, who is stronger? When the Lord is your strength, who is there to be afraid of? He is the saving strength of his anointed. Seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face continually, and he will be your strength and power, making your way perfect. Our God and our strength, in whom we trust, he girds us with strength, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. For God's grace is sufficient for you, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, boast about your weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Be strong and very courageous. Fear not, for the Lord thy God is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And besides, God gives power to the faint and to them who have no might. Thomas Watson was a Puritan preacher in the late 1600s. He studied Satan, and he lists 27 ways that Satan uses to tempt us. I'm not going to go over 27 ways with you, but he does write that Satan is sneaky and he's subtle and he works continuously to identify how we in particular can be tempted to fall into sin. Have you ever thought about it? But Satan just doesn't throw temptations out there. Satan takes a look at you, and he customizes temptations for you. That's what Satan does. He customizes temptations just for you because he knows what you are like. But Satan can't win with Christians. We read this in Ephesians. God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive altogether with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, no matter what Satan tells us, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. We rejoice because God's sovereign grace has saved us. God has given us light. God has shown us his glory. God has shown us the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us mercy. mercy even though we fall into sin and fall into temptation. He redeems us and he brings us out of sin, and eventually he will bring us into his glory. And our hope is in the fact that Satan's dominion in this world is not going to be forever. We are just here on a temporary basis. We are aliens here. But eventually, we are going to be part of that heavenly kingdom along with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and God that we serve.